Well, welcome to week 8 of our sermon series, The Women of the Bible. It is nice to have all of you live on Facebook, and it is nice to have you guys back with us here in the sanctuary. This week, we look at two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, I don't know if you've ever hosted a big party or event at your house, but it can be pretty stressful. And the bigger the event or party, the more stressful it becomes. Before we had three kids, my wife and I used to host a huge backyard summer party, complete with themes and costumes. No surprise there, right? We had everything from a luau theme to sports themed, circus themed, and many, many more over the years. Now, some of you may have planned big events like bridal showers, wedding showers, first birthdays, or 50th anniversaries. And maybe some of you have even planned something bigger like proms, weddings, or receptions. And all of these have different levels of stress. Now, just imagine if someone famous was coming to your dinner party or event. I think that would add some extra stress to you, don't you think? Well, in our story today, that is kind of what happens. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, at first glance, when you first read the scripture, it seems like they are strangers, but they are not. Growing up, Jesus was friends with the family. Martha's sister was named Mary, and her brother was Lazarus, the man who would Jesus would later raise from the dead. And it is believed by scholars that Lazarus was one of Jesus' childhood friends. And we know that Jesus was at least very close to the family as he wept over Lazarus' death. And in the Gospel of John, it is said that Jesus loved him. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus knew Jesus well. So it was no surprise that they would open their home to him. But now, Jesus wasn't just a little kid born in Bethlehem anymore. Jesus wasn't just a local carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus, at this point, was a superstar. Jesus was a well-known teacher all over the region. Jesus had performed miracles. Jesus had thousands upon thousands gathering to hear him preach. Everyone in the region knew his name. Jesus had been invited to dinners of the wealthy elite, yet Jesus still chose to come to the humble dwelling of Mary and Martha. This was a big, big deal. And I'm sure that Mary, as the oldest, felt a lot of pressure to host the superstar Jesus. She wanted everything to go just right while Jesus was there. She likely pored over every detail. And then in the scriptures it says she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Have you ever felt that way? Now that was pretty bold. Because we have to understand in the culture for a woman to go and address a man, especially a teacher like that, was pretty brave. And this really shows how well she knows Jesus. She might have been the older sister to help change the diaper or something. We don't know. But she confronts him and wants him to tell her little sister to get up and get back to work. Because after all, fair is fair. Martha was working her tail off while Mary just sat there and let the punch bowl go empty or the trash to pile up. I'm sure many of you know and understand how Martha feels. Have you ever been stuck tending to a party or doing all the work while you watch someone else, likely your spouse, laughing it up with guests and not helping you? I'm sure you can imagine having a big Thanksgiving Day dinner and seeing everyone sitting around watching the football game while you're stuck scraping the bottom of some pan. Martha felt very justified in her criticism of Mary. But this kind of thing doesn't just happen at parties. This even happens in our churches. All my life, I've been in churches where I hear statements like this. It's not fair. Look at the people sitting around the tables laughing it up while I'm stuck back in the kitchen cleaning up after everyone. I've heard people say, I swear, I think I'm the only one who does any work around here. I have heard people say, well, I taught Sunday school for years when my kids were here. It's about time someone else steps up and teaches their kids in Sunday school. And the old saying is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I think that's true in many cases. But I'll tell you, I appreciate the 20% of the people that do that work. Without them, many of the things around the church just wouldn't happen. But even among these people, some of them are doing the work with the wrong motives. Let's go back to our scriptures. In verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what it is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha was worried about the party and not the reason for the party. Martha was caught up in the work, and she was doing good work, but she left Jesus out of the equation. And we often can do that a lot. When we come to worship, when we sing in a choir, or even if you have a job up front like this, doing liturgy or worship leading. We can cook for a carry-in and get stuck doing the cleanup afterwards. We can even go out and serve as part of a mission. We can do a lot of things and we can feel pretty good about ourselves. Because look at us, we're working hard. Everybody look at me. But if we do anything without Jesus at the center, then we are missing it. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, we need to have the right motivation and realize that only Jesus matters. Jesus said to Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Why do we let so many things get us worked up? Why do we worry? We get mad because no one else seems to be helping us. We get frustrated because we don't like how someone else is teaching the class. We get frustrated if we do all the work for an event and no one eats the pie we baked. We need to ask ourselves, are we serving the church for our glory, or are we serving the church for God's glory? Are we as a church hosting events so that people will like our church and will be popular in the community? Or are we hosting an event to lead people to Jesus? Mary was focused on Jesus. And everything we do as a church needs to be focused on Jesus. Yes, there is a lot of grunt work that needs to be done in a church. Especially a church of our size that depends on our wonderful volunteers. We have grass that needs mowed, garbage that needs taken out. We have floors and bathrooms and hallways and classrooms and a sanctuary that needs cleaned. And honestly, I think we have a lot of people here doing things for the right motives. And I thank you for that. Your work is truly appreciated. And I pray that you don't get the Martha syndrome. Not Martha, but Martha from our story. It's hard not to get frustrated when other people don't seem to step up and do their fair share. But we need to make sure that we don't get worried and upset about the things that distract us from Jesus. And this message just doesn't apply to people working and serving in the building of the church. When Jesus said, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. This is an important passage that applies to all areas of our lives. Because all areas of our lives need to be focused on Jesus. We have allowed too many things to distract us. We have allowed the politics within the church to distract us from our mission. I mean, just look at the divide in our church now between liberals, progressives, and traditionalists. Our focus has been centered on one or two issues, and we have lost our focus on the real mission of the church. Satan loves to divide us. Satan loves to distract us. Satan will do anything and everything to take our attention away from Jesus. Satan uses things like pride and jealousy and envy. And he turns these things into bitterness, frustration, and anger. And I've told the story before of a church I served in years ago where the trustees of the church and a youth were at odds with each other over a pop machine that they installed in the youth room, with no concern about who it reached or how it helped bring people into the church. I've seen churches divided over the color of new carpet or the color of paint used on the walls. And in our society today, we see how Satan is dividing us over every issue possible. We're divided over COVID-19. People are upset that things are opening up too fast, while others are filing lawsuits because we are not opening up fast enough. We are divided over racial issues. We are divided over politics. I can scroll through my Facebook feed on any given day and see the polar opposite of opinions on everything. And you see, Satan uses all these things to distract us from serving Christ. He said, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We cannot let distractions take Jesus away from us. When we are confronted with problems, instead of getting worked up and worried about them, we need to turn problems into opportunities to serve Christ. For example, COVID-19 created a problem, and until today, we haven't been able to worship together in person. But we have been able to turn this opportunity to reach people in ways that we never could before using the internet. Our Facebook page prior to COVID-19 had 19 followers. It's got over 200 today. We used this opportunity. When we see people divided over politics, instead of pointing out the flaws of everything they support, why don't we show them the light of Jesus can root out the darkness of evil? Instead of seeing a crisis of the unemployed and hungry people and expecting another government program to fix the problem, why can't we see it as an opportunity to serve others in the name of Christ? Mary was focused on Jesus. Martha was consumed by distractions. We should be passionate about a lot of things, but we should be passionate about things for the right reasons. And trust me, I am very guilty of this myself. This week alone, our district superintendent sent an email to the pastors regarding race relations and what he thinks we should do. And for the most part, you read through it, it's what you would expect. But in that letter was one very inflammatory statement that I took great exception with. And I let it eat at me. And oh, I complained to my wife. I sent messages to other pastors. "Did you see that email? Can you believe he said that?" And then it hit me. I can't let the words of my district superintendent distract me. Instead of looking through the lenses of race and social disparity, I need to look through a different set of lenses. Instead of making this an issue of oppression and victimization, this is about a culture that finds identity in everything except Jesus Christ. Our culture measures self-worth by all the wrong reasons. And as Christians, our identity should come through Jesus Christ. And when we get that our self-worth is based on the love and the promises we receive from the Father, not from our income, not from the neighborhood we live in, not from the kind of cars we drive, not from the opportunities we had or didn't have. It's about the love and the promises of Jesus Christ. And when we get that, it transforms us. When Christ is at the center of our lives, we no longer define ourselves by money, by possessions, by social status, or race. And when Christ is at the center of our lives, we no longer define others by money, by possessions, by social status, or by race. Do you get the difference? We can't define ourselves by these things, and we can't define others by these things. We need to have Christ at the center of our lives. If we as a church truly lived with Jesus as our focus, if we even just loved each other the way Jesus loved us, if we became peacemakers, if we served and loved others through his love, then the world would begin to see and hear our message. Because what are we as Christians saying when we say some of the things that we say? Our hearts should break when we see that people do not have an identity in Christ. Our hearts should break when we see people who don't know his love and his promises. Because when you turn on the news, what do you see? Do you see people on the left? Do you see people on the right? Do you see people that are rioting and looting for nothing? Or do you see people who are standing up and ignoring the problem? Because what we should really see is, man, those people need to have the peace of Jesus Christ in their lives. Those people need to be measured by God's love and his grace and his mercy. Mary sat focused on what Jesus was saying. And all too often, we do not pause long enough to stop and hear what Jesus is saying. Are you listening today? Is your focus on Jesus? I want you to look at yourself right now. What distracts you? What has got you angry? What do you fear? What do you worry about? I want you to take time this week and listen to Jesus. Mary sat at his feet and listened to his words. Maybe this week you need to go back and read the story again from Luke chapter 10. Maybe you need to go back and watch this sermon again. Maybe you need to spend a little more time in prayer. And maybe rather than rattling off 30 seconds to a minute of list of demands for God, you sit there and listen for a while. Whatever you need to do, stop. Listen. And allow his love to work through you. And if each of us did that, we would make a difference in every one of the problems we see in the news every day. We could fix the divide over race. We could fix the divide in the politics. We could fix hunger, healthcare, and so much more. But we as a church need to go forward with our focus on Jesus. Because if he's not transforming our lives, how do we expect him to go transform other people's lives? We have to be that light. We have to have peace. We have to eliminate worry and the anger and the frustration in our lives. They need to see that our love and our identity comes from Jesus Christ. And people will say, something different about the people that go to that church? What's different about them? Why do they always seem to be there when people need them? And they've always got nothing but love and support for other people. Do you see how they get along? Do you see how they love each other? That's what I need in my life. And when they say what's different, you can say, God. God makes that difference. And let me tell you about a Savior who died. Let me tell you about a church who gathers and worships Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a church who's passionate for their building and for their property and for their people. A church that's passionate for their community. Our bins should be overflowing with food donations. We should be out in our neighborhoods going door to door. Who needs something? I got it for you. We need to do more. Now, some of you are very generous. I don't want to take away from what those who are out there doing it and living it. But we have an opportunity to change our focus. And when we change our focus, we can begin to affect change in this world, the change that this world needs. Because I don't know about you, I hate turning on the news. And if it wasn't for getting the weather forecast, I may never turn it on again. It's frustrating. It's heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. I hate to see people that mad. Whether I agree with them or don't agree with them, that doesn't matter. Do they have Jesus? Do they need Jesus? And how can I share Jesus with them? That should be our life's mission and all that we do and everywhere we go, focused on Jesus and sharing his love. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story about Mary and Martha. Both of them loved Jesus. Mary was working her tail off, trying to make the dinner the very best she could. And she had great intentions. But it became about the party, and it had stopped being about Jesus. And Lord, sometimes our lives start to become about our lives and our situations and what we're dealing with, and we lose our focus on you. And Lord, I know I am guilty. For that, I humbly ask for your forgiveness. And my prayer is that all people within the sound of my voice will hear what your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us. That everything else is just stuff. And what we all really need is Jesus. Help us to become bridge builders. Help us to become peacemakers. Help us to be problem solvers. And in all that we do, let us point people to your Savior, Jesus Christ, so that they can know the same love and the same promises that we have. Lord, all of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. As we depart here today, hear these selected verses from James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let us now depart and go share God's mercy with all that we meet. in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.